Hello and welcome to Dad.fm. You're checking out today's podcast. Is going to be about the Oscar recap. I'm your host, Adam Cohen from DataRocks.com.
This is Drew Bennett from BenSpark.com.
Jeff Bogle from OWTK.com.
So, Jeff, why don't you take us into the Oscars in all its glory? Because I think me and you have by far seen the most, but I think Drew has something special when we get into the animation award.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. So if you were just came out from under that rock that you're so cozy beneath, I'll tell you that Birdman won big, but not as big as most expected. So Michael Keaton did not win for Best Actor, which a lot of people thought he was a shoo-in for. But Birdman did take Best Picture and Best Director. I enjoyed the movie. I think we might have talked about that on a previous episode, but I don't believe it was the best picture. I saw 7 of the 8, missing out on American Sniper, but I saw all the other 7. And Whiplash was far and away for me the best picture of this or of any year of the last probably 5. It's an amazing film. But I can't argue from a Best Director standpoint with Birdman, although Ava DuVernay for Selma should have been nominated because that the direction of that movie, it's a very directed film and it's fantastic. She did a fantastic job. Julianne Moore took Best Actress. I think that was a foregone conclusion. But Michael Keaton, as I mentioned at the top, did not. Eddie Redmayne for Theory of Everything, where he played a declining health Stephen Hawking, and he was just marvelous. Just a marvelous performance in that really terrific movie. So I cannot say I am disappointed in that one at all. J.K. Simmons, no surprise, the best supporting actor and actress, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, very well deserved, both of them. Great performances. J.K. Simmons is just a maniac on screen. I mean, he just pops off the big screen in that film like nothing else. If you've never seen a film about a jazz teacher and orchestra conductor, which you probably never have, and I hadn't before that one, It is quite startling. So I did not see him. I was in the air, as you were too, I am sure, Adam, flying back from San Francisco. But I caught up afterwards. In fact, it's funny, the guy we had, so on the United flight, we had DirecTV, could have paid $8, I guess, to watch live television. And even though Michigan State basketball was on during my flight, I had spent so much money. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to spend that extra $8. That would have just put me over the top for that weekend. So San Francisco is not a cheap town. And I was on vacation for the previous week. So it was like a 10-day...
It is not a cheap town by matter.
It was a 10-day credit card extravaganza. So that $8, I'm like, I'll just listen to my podcast.
I would have spent the $8. I didn't have the option for live TV. I ended up watching an old movie on whatever system Delta had, where I got to watch Monument Men, which actually turned out to be a pretty good movie, but still, I would have much rather have watched a live Oscar show.
Well, you know, the guy next to me was watching, he paid, and he's watching, like, the red carpet show. So I'm like, cool, I'll just, like, you know, be that dude that just kind of, like, rubbernecks across the aisle. I was on an aisle, he was on the other aisle across from me. So I'm like, all right, if he's watching the red carpet show, he's going to certainly be watching the award show. Nope. He turned it off and flipped to Fox News, making him the weirdest demographic ever. He watched a red carpet show and then switched over to Fox News.
That's not a weird demographic. That's the creepy demographic. That's like leering at the pretty women in the low-cut dresses and then be like, and now I'll go back to something more civilized.
Good point. Okay. Yeah, I did not
really
see
consider Fox News civilized.
Well, yeah, I was going to just leave that alone. But yeah, that is a possibility. So I was a little disappointed that I waited until I landed to check out and Twitter explosion of, oh my God, Michael Keaton didn't win. But I was very excited about the animated win. I was kind of pulling for Box Trolls. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just such a handcrafted, decade-long project that I would have liked to have seen awarded. But boy, Big Hero 6, the winner, is a terrific film. I absolutely loved it so much, and so did my girls. And Drew, I know you have some personal stories to tell from that film, so I'll step back and let you take it.
Yeah, actually, last July, I got to go out on a press tour to screen part of the movie, a couple clips from Big Hero 6, but I also got to meet the directors, Don Hall and Chris Williams, and also the producer, Roy Conley. So got to meet those three guys, and also I got to meet the director, the creator of Feast, the person who inspired Feast, which why did his name just go right out of my head? Patrick Osborne. Okay, so he was the first time director, and he directed the animated short Feast, which won for best animated short. And what's really interesting about Feast and about this animated short is that Disney does this thing every year, is that anybody who works for Disney can submit ideas for a short film. And Patrick Osborne, what he was doing is he was taking pictures of his meals and making 30-second videos or 10-second videos. I forget how many seconds it was, but videos every day of the meals that he was taking. And he started to notice patterns of what he was eating and what was happening in his life. And the idea came about there that he was going to tell the story of a person's life through food. And then it came through the eyes of this little dog, Winston. And it's a beautiful short film. I loved it very much. And I couldn't wait to share that with my children, because Winston is just such a cute, cute dog. And I know they're not going to get, you know, all the everything behind it that's happening. But seeing the sadness and the joy and all these different emotions that are being played out with food and with this little puppy and this man and woman. And it's a love story, with food, and a love story between a man and a woman. And it's just really a beautifully done short film. That is the short film that played in front of Big Hero 6. It's on the DVD that actually came out yesterday. It's been on Disney Movie Anywhere since the 3rd, I think. So you can actually pick that up now and see these two Oscar winners in one DVD Blu-ray. Big Hero 6, I was blown away by the clips that I saw when I was at this event, and just there's one, you guys have both seen it, so there's one part where they go out flying for the first time, and it is just this, when I saw it, it was just incredible. It made me think of the flying scenes that were done in the first How to Train Your Dragon, and just how amazing that flying sequence is. And we got some backstory about, you know, what this point in the movie was, is that, you know, this is pretty much the point where Hero is actually feeling some joy back in his life. Yep. And you see that, and you see that in this whole sequence, and it was pretty amazing. So we get to see some clips, we got to see some behind the scenes as far as the animation and different iterations of the characters, how they came about. We got to learn more about why Baymax was this big soft robot, and basically the team actually researched by spending some time with soft robots at Carnegie Mellon University and seeing what they're, you know, because they were actually working on real-world applications at Carnegie Mellon University for like these soft-type robots. Not a Baymax character but that sort of feel and that look to the robots. And it was an incredible experience meeting the guys there. Was awesome meeting Chris Williams and Don Hall and Ron Conley. I was actually there with a friend of ours and fellow image logger, Chris Lewis, and another friend that we know, Mitch. And Chris and I hung around, took some pictures with with Chris Williams, Don Hall, and Ron Conley, and just talking to them about being dads. And I don't know if they ever did Chris's Dads in the Limelight series, but he was talking to them about, you know, getting them in to talk on that. So it was a nice personal touch. And so that movie, it was really a great movie when I finally saw it. And I've seen it now probably about four times since. And I loved it so much. And just having that personal connection, being able to talk with the directors, interview them, and then just talk, you know, one-on-one for a little bit after when we were taking group shots and stuff, you know, really, really touched me as far as that movie. And I say back in September, you know, I'm like, you know, that this movie's going to be, you know, the biggest animated movie of the fall. And, you know, I didn't really know it was going to be of the year, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was a kind of a bucket of tears when I saw it. I mean, I love a good sibling story, and it was neat.
I can attest to this because I saw Jeff coming out of the theater. And
yeah,
dripping,
and not even just at the, you know, not in the at the beginning, in the middle, at the end. I mean, it was just coming at me in waves. But it feels rare to me to have like a strong brotherly love story. I mean, maybe you see it with sisters because they're softer. That's the way they're portrayed. But I don't feel like we get that. Brothers get that treatment very often. And just the love that Hiro had for his older brother and respect for him, it was, and you didn't get a whole lot of time with the older brother, unfortunately, but you could feel it. And I'm not going to spoil it for everybody. I mean, you should have seen that movie by now. So when he's no longer in the picture, literally, it is sad. It is really sad. And then when Baymax comes along as sort of a, you know, it's not lost the symbolism that he is sort of the robotic embodiment of his brother. It is his creation. When he is no longer in the picture, for a moment, it is very, very, very sad. And anything, whether it's for children or adults, that can move human emotion that way, with storytelling and with beautiful imagery, it's a treat, and it is deservedly been rewarded. So it's very exciting that Big Hero 6 has gotten the accolades that it so well deserves. And there were some kick-ass girl characters in it too, so that's pretty rad. I'm all about that. The aunt was pretty cool, but the young girl characters that went to school with Hiro's brother, the names of which you'll have to forgive me, I don't recall, but
Gogo Tamago and Honey Lemon.
There we go. I knew I just had to pause for a moment and Drew would jump in with their names. He's a wealth of pop culture knowledge in that way. So yeah, very good. If you haven't seen it, shame on you. Go get it. Go rent it. Buy it. Download it. However you consume your films these days. Check out Big Hero 6. Anybody else enjoy anything? Or
particularly stay till after the credit scene because it is a comic book geeky dream of having that there.
The credits are long, but you have to. Feels like the longest credit roll ever.
It takes a lot of people to make an animated movie, right?
It did. And you guys have a beat on some Big Hero 6 toys, I believe. Did I hear you mention that in one of our previous episodes that I was not on from Toy Fair?
Yeah, we saw all the really cool toys at Toy Fair. So if you go back and check out our Toy Fair recap, we did check out the Bandai booth and saw some really cool Big Hero 6 toys that are coming out to market. Most of the toys have been out to market. They're just hard to find. Mm. We kind of know why there's been this big shipping hubble full of California. But they're coming. We saw some of the new toys, like the original Blue Armor Baymax, which was awesome. And, you know, just really cool stuff coming out for that property. And I can't wait to see more Baymax in the future.
That was episode 9, if anybody just wants to go back, of dad.fm.
All right. And then what's coming out right now? I saw the other night, this is once again, being New York, you get some really cool things. I sat in a screening of American Crime, which is the new crime series that focuses on the family of the crime, of the victims and of the perpetrators. And that's coming on ABC television. Starting in a week from now, next week, And it is really cool. And the star is Timothy Hutton.
So jealous.
And so I got to meet Timothy Hutton. And it's brought to you by Ridley. Scott Ridley, I think.
Not Ridley Scott, right? It's the gentleman who made 12 Years a Slave,
yeah,
correct?
It's the gentleman who made 12 Years a Slave. So now I'm totally butchering his name. So it's brought to you by 12 Years a Slave. And I want to say so bad it's John Ridley? John Ridley. All right. So John Ridley is the writer and the director for most of the episodes of American Crime. And he's this amazing, amazing guy that has a really unique outlook on life and how he's perceived in the world and how this show will come across. And I got to tell you, I've watched NYPD Blue. I've watched CSI shows. I've watched NCIS. This isn't a cop show. This isn't like the HBO True Crime. That it's not like that. It's as hard hitting as True Crime was, True Detectives on HBO. It's not based from the cop's perspective. It's based from the family, and so that's really distinctly different. That instead of having one theory of a thread, you're looking at five or six threads in this one story that kind of is woven between the crime and the tragedy of that crime. But Timothy Hutton played an incredible character in this, and we got to watch the first episode. We got to have some dialogue with him, so I actually got a little question that I have to throw up on YouTube, taped with him. It was an incredible night, and I'm jazzed for the show. I'm really fearful, though, that because it's on ABC, they're not going to have that audience that sits there and gets it.
It's a strange place. That feels like not a network show. It feels like a cable.
No,
it like definitely, FXX or AMC or something.
I don't know what channel FXXX is anymore. They just got ridiculous with that name. Fox Network just should have been FX Network, and that should have been it, and should have had 6 days of programming and should have been fine. But no, they had to go create a secondary network of FXXX. It's craziness.
I'm looking forward to FXXXX.
That's gonna be raunchy stuff. That's gonna be pay per view. No, but this definitely feels like it could have been a Netflix show. It could have been an HBO show for sure. I said, it really had to me. It had elements of True Detectives where it got really got in your face. And there's a lot of drugs in this show. They don't show anything too explicit because it is still ABC. It's at the 10 o'clock hour on Thursday nights. But it's going to be, it definitely feels murder. How to Get Away with Murder with a really interesting show. That's the fill-in for this. Half season. But it is a one-season takeaway. So we already know that at the start and the finish, it's going to wrap up in this season. So you don't have to sit there and be like, oh, but next season. If they do anything, it might become a very American Horror Story where they might bring the same cast back but do a different storyline.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the cinematography of this, the way it was shot, the dialogue of this, it was so unique and something that you just don't see on television.
All right, I'm sold. I mean, I heard about it a while ago, I believe on The Frame, my favorite daily podcast, where they talk to possibly that gentleman, John Ridley, whose name you're struggling with earlier.
So bad.
Me too. I'm bad. We need Drew. We need Drew for all names and all voiceover acting and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, sounds awesome. I will set the DVR for that, no doubt. And I'm sure that will come up on a future episode. So cool. Good talking to you guys about the Oscars. Congratulations again to Big Hero 6 and Feast and the entire team at Disney Animation. Super, super work this year.